Thank you, Lord, for that promise that you'll fill us, Father, if we just come to you. And Lord, I just pray you would continue to speak to us this morning, whatever you would have us to hear. Bless each one. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Is this where you usually speak from, or maybe it'd be better down there? I'm debating which one or where I wanted to be. I don't have a measuring tape like Nate was saying, maybe more than 8 feet here to the people. But someone said he likes to speak within 8 feet of the people. And I actually feel better down there, so maybe I should just go down there. I don't know. But anyhow, I guess I'll stay up here. I'm so glad that I came this weekend. It's what I needed in my own heart. Thanks, John, for allowing us, for inviting us. They're the one that told us they were down at our congregation about a month ago, and they were like, come on, why don't you come? And we really struggled. We didn't know for sure we should come or not. And it's different things, and I'm really glad I did. It's really been a blessing. I bring you greetings from our congregation, the Hebrew Conservative Mennonite congregation there in Ohio. And pray for us. We're on a journey also. It was so good to be here this morning and listen to you all sing. We sang that song, "Oh Come Let Us Worship." And we sang that the Savior is here. We also sang, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. We also sang, God Himself is present. And then we sang, amazing love, that He should die for me. How could it be that He should die for me? I just want to bless you here as a congregation, that you would keep singing like you were singing this morning. There's a little fella that was sitting right behind me, and he was just singing his heart out, just really going for it. And just keep doing that. I don't know what his name is, but I was really blessed. He was just sitting there just really going. What must heaven be like? We think of all the little children up there or in paradise. Must be just amazing. Also, we've been friends with the Overhaul for a number of years, and I just want to bless them and encourage them that they would keep on, keeping on. Keep doing what you're doing. You have a message. We need to hear it. Singing is so important in our worship services. Sometimes I get burdened that we just come together and we just want to go through the singing, you know, and sing three songs and get on with the service. Folks, we miss a lot when we do that. An awful lot. So, bless you for coming. And the Overhauls have made an impact in my life in different ways. But one way that they've blessed me so richly, and that is they always take me where I am and make me feel okay. Folks, that's from God. That's from God. Bless you for that. Well, this morning, I'd like to just think about the thought of God awareness this morning. And as we were singing all those songs, it was so a blessing to me. And to think of being aware of God's presence around us. Nate talked about there ought to be more singing on the tractor, on the job, whistling, whatever. And that's what I would like to have you think more about this morning. How that God is with us wherever we go. Wherever we are, His presence is there. And my children like to, right now, are kind of having fun with each other. They like to stand behind a corner or something and scare each other, the liver out of each other, I guess, when someone unbeknown walks around the corner. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. They have fun doing that. But, you know, when they do that, the person that walks around that corner, he isn't aware that that person is standing there and going to go, bah! And so when that happens, that is when they immediately become aware that there was somebody there they didn't know was there. And sad to say, that's how we, at least that's how I do in my walks and times. All of a sudden, I realize God is here and I didn't even think about it. Here's a quote from someone that I'd like you to maybe wrestle with. Disrespect is often conceived in a void of God. Disrespect is often conceived in a void of God awareness. Think about that. Are you aware of God's presence this morning? By your singing, I felt you definitely were. How much do you think about God's presence when you go about your daily life? And also, do you categorize your life? Do you put a file card mentality where you go to work today, you come home, you do this, and you do that the whole week, and then Sunday comes along and okay, now we're going to go worship God. We're going to go to God's house. Or do you see God in all you do? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, I have a lot of scriptures here. I'm not going to take time to turn to all of them, but Matthew 6, verse 25 says this: Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Jesus says that we're not to worry about all those things. Take no thought. Now, as we think of this thought of God awareness, it came to my mind that depends how you view God this morning will make a difference on how what this will mean to you as we think of this God awareness. If you view God this morning as a God with a big stick walking up and down these aisles that is out to get you and is out to beat you when we mess up, then God awareness is not fun to think about. But when we see God as a father of relationship, His hand outstretched, His heart is turned towards us, then we love to think of God being with us. And I know what it's like to view God as a big stick. I lived that way for many years. And I still struggle with that. But praise God. I'm on a journey. You may turn to Psalm 139 if you care to. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou search me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue.
But lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Verse 3, God is saying here that He compasses our path and our lying down. And He's acquainted with all our ways. He's always there, in other words. And Nate was talking about how that they had this, I didn't get what all he said meant, but they had a scare, I guess, where someone knocked on the window or something. He's there when we're lying down. I didn't think Nate would be afraid. But I guess he has fears like I do. Because I would be afraid too if someone knocked on my window when I'm sleeping or laying there in bed. But God says He's there when we're lying down. He's acquainted with all our ways. In verse 4, He says, even what we say, what we're going to say, there's not a word that we ever are going to say, but He knows it. He knew what, everything we have said and what we ever will say. God knows that. And also says, by thy words, we're going to be condemned or justified. In verse 5, He besets us behind and before, and He lays His hand on us, the same hand that can span the heavens. The same hand He makes it small enough that He can hold each one of us. It's never full. Well, in verse 6, such knowledge, we just can't understand. David says he can't understand this. It's too high. And neither can I. Verse 7, where can we go? Whither can He go from His Spirit? Where can we get away from God's presence if we would want to? The Christian doesn't want to. We want to be there. We want to be here. We want His presence with us. Moses said, if you're not going to take us up hence, if you're not going to go with me, don't take me up hence. He's talking about the children of Israel. Verse 8, we go up to heaven, or if we go down to hell, the Bible says that thou art there. My Bible has the word hell as Sheol. The Hebrew is Sheol. Or place, the grave. If we go down to the grave, what encouragement. When we go to the grave, when we go into Hades, when we go into paradise, God is there. He goes right with us. Till the judgment day, and we can be in glory with Him. Well, Jonah, he tried to flee from the presence. We know that story. And he went down into the ship, and we know the story how that they threw him overboard. One of the verses there in Jonah says that the men said that Jonah should cry out to God if haply the Lord might think upon us. I thought that was interesting. I don't know if that man even believed in God or not. He said, if your God would just think upon us. Well, he was. We know that when Jonah prayed to God, God delivered him. I don't know if Jonah actually believed that he could get away or not. He did what he did, so evidently he must have. I don't know. Well, continuing on in Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16 there, it talks there about how that God possessed our reins. He covered us in our mother's womb. Verse 14, David says, I will praise thee, for he's wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Today, we live in a day when people want to not think about God. They want not to think about these verses here. They want to think of as unborn children as just a thing, I guess. And that's why I said a few minutes ago, what must glory be like? Because I believe abortion is just a sign of people totally being trying to put God out of the picture. 37 million. U.S. And that's where it comes from, because people don't understand that God is there. He is here. They want to do away with God in their lives. From verse 17, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. David is saying that how precious are his thoughts. They're more than he can even count. We had a fellow that talked on the stars here just recently in our community. And I was so blessed. He showed us many pictures of the universe and the planets and the stars. And folks, we look up in the night sky. The farther north we come, the better it is, because at least up north farther, less pollution than the United States there, at least most places. The more stars we can see, the less pollution we have. But we see such a fraction of what's really out there. And men have gave up trying to count the stars. They tried to keep record for a while, all the galaxies and I don't know, all the different planets. Finally they gave up. Couldn't count them. Couldn't keep track of them. There's so many. But God, the Bible says that God knows each one and has a name for each one. And here he says, his thoughts are even more than we can number. He knows our names too. And so we're never out of his radar, if you wanna could say it that way. We all know what radar is. And sometimes we hate the radar guns that are sitting along the road. But maybe we shouldn't though. But you know, they only cover a certain area. But God's radar is just, you know, on some of our cell phones you can get the weather and, you know, it says 400 miles. It's showing you 400 miles radar of the weather. Well, God's radar sees everyone at one time. So God is a big God. And yet he is a big God, he is interested in each one of our lives. He knows us by name, and he calls us by name. There's many, many examples in the Bible of men that experience God's presence. I'd like us to think about. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 16 and 17, this is where Jacob was on his way to Padan Aram. His father had sent him out, and We know the story here of Jacob's ladder, we call it. And in verse 16 and 17, well, backing up, we know the story of how that Jacob slept that night and there was a ladder to heaven and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And Jacob wakes up the next morning out of his sleep in verse 16 and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." You know, we could be hard on Jacob here and say, what did he expect? I mean, he's on this journey, he's out there in the middle of nowhere, and he's sleeping. Who did he think was there? Jacob wakes up and says, "I knew it not that God was here. But I look at myself, and how many times I'm no different than Jacob. But God is here, and I knew it not." You know, what about all the little things that happen in life? And like Nate was talking about his truck breaking down, his dad's truck, I just for myself, when I hear people say, luckily I was here, I wasn't here when this happened, and I just really cringe. I really cringe when I hear that. And I'm not free of it myself totally. But God has made me aware. Folks, if He knew us before we were ever born or before we were ever conceived, doesn't He know every little thing that happens? Doesn't He know everything that ever will happen? How much more glory God would get if we would say, "Thank you, Jesus, for whatever," rather than luck. That's my heart. Joseph was another one. In Genesis 39, we have Joseph here down in Egypt, being sold down in Egypt, and we know that story well too. In verses 7 through 9. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, nor to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Folks, men, what about us today? What about me? Joseph said, there was no one but him and her in the house. He's down in Egypt. I'm just amazed at the strength, that the relationship that Joseph had with this God. He says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It wasn't, what's the church going to say back home, or what's my friends going to say? It was, he was aware that God was there, even down in Egypt. And I think today, in our day, it's not going to get any better for us as men and everybody as far as that goes. But what about when you go into the gas station and there's the magazine rack? What do you do? You say, "I can't look there because God is with me. I'm going to grieve Him. What about when you on the internet, or maybe all the videos that are around that you can watch? Last night I went and got gas, and I walked into this gas station, and you walk up to the counter, and right there's a bunch of magazines. And I'm a man, and so I had a terrible, just a drawing towards that rack that I just thought I had to, you know, just glance at it. And, you know, and I didn't come totally clear of it. I'll just confess that right now. But I didn't stand there and gaze at it. But that's what we face. But can we just see that? Can we understand that God is there with us? He will give us strength to walk away, just like Joseph fled. He ran out the door. He left his coat and everything. Whatever she grabbed a hold of, he just left it right there and ran. Because Joseph loved God. Well, we could talk about Job. Job said, "Blessed be the Lord, gave and he takes away." Job saw God in blessing and also in disaster. Daniel, we could talk about Daniel in the lion's den. You can turn to that, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6, verse 18 through 23. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and has shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him Daniel is innocent, says here, was found in me. Also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that he should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. I just love there where Daniel says, my God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths. We've heard this story over and over again, from little up. And I'm afraid many times we just blow over it. It goes over our head and you're like, yeah, well, he was in the den of lions and whatever. But it was a real to Daniel. He was thrown down in there. Those lions would have loved, normally would have had him dead possibly before he reached the bottom like the other folks. But Daniel realized that God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. He was with him. Don't you wonder what happened in that den that night when it was all dark? Those lions were all laying around there. I just wonder if God wasn't there with him. Doesn't seem like it, does it? It doesn't say anywhere that Daniel was afraid. I believe that all the lions were just laying there as peacefully as they ever were. In John chapter 1, we have the story here of Nathanael. John 1, verse 43 through 51. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I just love this story of Nathanael here. You know, first of all, he says, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, Come on and see. Let's go. And then, when Jesus saw Nathanael coming, he says some really powerful words. He says, An Israelite in whom is no guile. Nathanael was questioning, you know, who is this prophet or who is this man? And yet I don't see Jesus. He was okay with that. He just, here's an Israelite in whom is no guile. And then Nathanael is like, how do you know who I am? He's walking, I think before Nathanael ever got close enough to him that they could shake hands possibly or give each other a hug or whatever, Jesus said this. And Philip's like, just blows him away. He says, How do you even know me? Never even, you know, we didn't even meet yet. And then he tells Philip, But now it's under the fig tree I saw. I saw you there before while you were under the fig tree. And that's all it took for Nathanael to believe. He says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael understood that Jesus saw him under the fig tree. Jesus named the kind of tree he was under. It was the fig tree. There was no question in Nathanael's mind if Jesus saw him there because he knew which tree he was under. And Nathanael says, I believe you are the Christ. You are the Son of the King of Israel, Son of God. Jesus says, You're going to see greater things than these. How much does it take for me to really understand that God loves me, that He cares about me, that He sees me wherever I go? He knows all the words that I have said or want to say. He knows our the mind battles that we go through. He knows when you hit your finger. He knows when your little child is crying and they're sick. The Bible says that He leads those that are with young. That is God. And I'm not sure how to end this, but I think I'm just going to close with that. I trust that as we sing, that we also are always aware that God is here. God is there wherever you, whatever you're doing. And I think, as we think of this weekend as being about singing, let's never forget that that music is only the vehicle to the message of our songs. So may God bless you. We as a family, like to do some singing, and we always appreciated when John and us and Jordan would come to our congregation, they would sing for us. And so, if that's okay, our family will sing a couple songs. You can come forward.
To Jonah, saying, "Go to Nineveh and preach the word that I command. Tell them to turn from the wicked way they're living, or I will destroy their land." But Jonah chose to flee from the presence of the Lord, and he wound up at the bottom of the sea. He found even there he was in God's presence, and he prayed, "Lord, deliver me." If God heard the prayer of a man in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea, and delivered him out of that watery prison, then I know he will hear even me. In the depths of the sea, at the bottom of the mountain, Jonah thought his God was far away. But he looked again toward the holy temple and started to earnestly pray. Then God spoke to the fish, for he heard Jonah's prayer, and he swam to the shore and set him free. Now that self-same God that delivered Jonah is the one that will hear even me. If God heard the prayer of a man in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea, and delivered him out of that watery prison, then I know he will hear even me. God heard the prayer of a man in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea, and delivered him out of that watery prison, that I know he will hear even me. Yes, I know he will hear even me. Sorrows and burdens, there are times that we don't understand, but he'll make it plain in the morning, so we'll hold to his unchanging hand.
We shall rest by the side of the river when we cross through the deep rolling
Jesus will ever abide. Soon the day star will rise in its splendor, and the mist and will all roll away. For the Lamb is the light of that country. It will all be an endless day.
We shall rest by the side.
The side of the river
when we cross through the snow,
the deep rolling down. sing by the side of the river as we tell of His wonderful grace. His brightness behold there forever, and we'll never grow tired of His praise.
We shall rest by the side of the river.
Jesus will.